I was sitting here, Vicky was in town, and suddenly I was watching the football results, actually, on a Saturday afternoon. This is the 15th of September, a date that's engraved on your mind. And I was sitting watching the football results about 5 o'clock, and the doorbell rang. There's two policemen standing there and said, there's been an accident. So I assumed it was Vicky. She was out on her bike. He said, no, it's in Spain, it's your son. And went a bit hysterical and had to sort of start dealing with things. I had to phone my daughters, they're in town, to get them back here. I didn't want to phone Vicky because she was on her bicycle. I didn't want her to have a crash coming home, so she came home and saw the police car outside and the girls coming in by taxi. So you don't know your children. It's quite strange that he helped so many people. At university, there was one girl in particular who wrote to us who had ME and couldn't go to parties and drinking, and he was a hard drinker and liked playing the field, as it were. And he, after a party, he would always go and sit with her just so she wouldn't feel excluded. And everywhere he went, and this has come back from all over the world, the friends he made, he was always there to help people. He could muck around, party hard, but if you were in trouble, he was there for you. And someone said about him, if you weren't a friend of Guy's, it was your fault. All these things, these compliments and what people have said, have been bittersweet. The circumstances in which we're hearing them is very painful. He was one of life's adventurers. He graduated from Newcastle in marine biology, and within two, he got a first, so his proud daddy put that in. He, within 2 weeks of graduating, he said, I don't want to live in this country, I want to go. But he packed his bags, bought a one-way ticket to Indonesia. He was a diving instructor. Then he managed to get himself a job in East Timor for a few months, working with the United Nations, teaching people to dive. Then he went further north to Flores, which is sort of the next island, bought himself an old motorbike, toured the island, ended up in Laban Bajo, which is the capital of Flores, got himself a job, and he was there for 2 years, diving with the Komodo dragons and all that sort of thing, teaching diving. In that part of the world, there's certain seasons you can't dive because of the monsoons, and the sea's very choppy and windy and so on. So he read in a book about paragliding and decided this is the next adventure. He went to Nepal and bought himself some paragliding lessons and absolutely loved it. And on the website there's a video of him paragliding, and you see, you'll possibly understand why. And while he was there, he met this chap called Alex Ledger, who runs a paragliding school in Spain. And they got friendly, and he offered Guy a job in Dubai. He said, first of all, come to Spain to learn advanced flying. So he went back, finished his diving season, then came back here last September on his way to Spain. And he went to Spain having a great time there, and unfortunately there was an accident one day and he crashed into the mountain he died. You know, fortunately, as we found out subsequently, it was very quick and he didn't know anything about it. He's actually had a video, because I'd bought him one of these cameras you screw to your head, and he's filming his flying. I haven't seen it, I asked friends to watch it. When he crashed, he didn't know he was injured, but he had massive internal bleeding. And he didn't know. He said, my bum hurts, my leg, I can't move my legs. And he put the camera on his knee and his face. He said, I radioed for help, I'm waiting for the helicopter. But he was probably dead within half an hour. Oh, so no pain, no suffering, not aware of it. So we're very grateful for that. Out of all the horrors, you know, we thought at first that he'd frozen to death on the mountain, and it was very painful for us. But once we found out that it was very quick and he didn't suffer, it made it marginally less painful. It was dusk, and he went off on his own, possibly to do another lap round the mountain, as it were. He was having a great time flying with six of them. And they didn't come back, and they sent out search parties, but it was a very remote place, and he was in a sort of canyon. And it wasn't until the following morning, when the helicopter could get up, they saw his parachute thing, and they spotted him, and they couldn't get there by foot. They lowered a winch man down and unfortunately found him. He was sitting on the ground, and he just must have just drifted off and passed away. To lose a child is, in the way we live our lives, is out of the natural order of things. Yeah. But a child, something you've created, it's very, very painful. And people have been amazingly supportive and sympathetic and understanding. Mm. It's hard. It raises a lot of questions. It challenges a lot of things, changes your life. And someone described it, which has been very helpful to me. There's a hole in the road in front of you. It's always there. Sometimes it's larger, sometimes it's smaller. But you learn to walk alongside it. You walk to the left, you walk to the right, and you learn it's there, and you just learn to live alongside it. It never goes away. It's always there. We wanted to do something that A, reflected what he did and what he was and who he was and his values and attitudes, and also give us something to focus on, that his life wasn't in vain. Eventually, after sort of searching around for what we wanted, we got in touch with ActionAid, and we decided we'd like to do something in Nepal, because that's the country he loved and where he wanted to go back. So we talked to ActionAid, and we've decided that in the Kashgari district of Nepal, we're building a school. Well, it's not actually a school, it's an early childhood development centre. It'll be the Guy Joseph Early Childhood Development Centre. And we're raising money to build that, and hopefully we'll get enough and raise a second one. We were thinking about getting a dog before all this happened. Then after the accident, we got our dog, and he has been like a therapist to us. It's quite incredible. If anyone's in a horrible situation like we are, the dog has, when I say a rescue dog, he's rescued us. Somehow, it's as though dogs have a sixth sense. Sometimes I'll get up in the morning and feeling very sad, and I'll come and sit on the settee, and he just comes up and just sort of sits on me, like he knows that I need sympathy. And we call him Dr. Horowitz, our therapist. Someone said, it's another beating heart in the house, which I thought just sums it up.